This morning's reading is Psalm 139 in its entirety. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So nice to see you here today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus. We come to you by grace. We come to you in faith. We come and ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to move amongst us, that which is in your heart, that which is according to your will, be done for us and to us this day. Lord, I bring you these preparations, which are no more than a few loaves and fishes, Lord. And we ask that you will empower them, that you will speak through them, that you will have that which is in your heart communicated to those who you want to speak to this day. We lay these things at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, so, no, that's it. Good. So we're carrying on the series, Life is Too Short. And as Peter outlined to us earlier, the topic for today is life is too short to not be you. Obvious question that arises from that is this: who are you? If you're going to personalize it and you ask it yourself, then ask the question, who am I? Lots of ways we could come at this. If we If we looked at the French philosopher Descartes, the answer may well be according to his famous statement. You'll have heard it. I think, therefore I am. But is that all we are? Just a thinking, rational person? Is the fact that we can reason and have thought, is that who we are? Sometimes we identify ourselves by our relationships. You might say, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a wife, I'm a sister, or a father, a husband, a son, or brother. Sometimes you might identify yourself by your occupation. Isn't that the way we often introduce ourselves? I'm a teacher, I'm a doctor, I'm a scientist or student, an apprentice, a homemaker, or a carer. But are any of those things really who we are, or simply descriptions that we use to identify us to other people? See, all these things are what I would call natural descriptions. They are as the world would view us and view you. They're not the truth of our eternal soul, nor of our spirit. They are temporal or temporary, whereas we, through Christ, are eternal beings. In the context of a spiritual life, a Christian life, an understanding of who you are is a place of power and assuredness. And it is out of that place that we are called to live our lives. Now, very grateful for some help this morning. You'll have all had one of these. Who am I? Okay. We will touch on them, but this is really for you to be able to take it away and look at it. Build yourself up in God. Take it home, look at it, look up the scriptures, make a note or two. These are the things, some of the things, that scripture says that you are. So you don't need it this moment, but we will refer to it very soon as we go on. So firstly, let's look at Jesus. Yep. Is that better? We got sound now. Sorry about that. Let's begin by looking at Jesus. Jesus is our template. Jesus is our example. Jesus is the forerunner. And the first point that I've got, of the three points I've got, is this. Jesus knew who he was and lived his life in the power of that. So in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have the account of Jesus asking his disciples, and I'm using Matthew's version here, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So what began to happen here was that Jesus had done miracles. He was living this miraculous life. He was in his ministry, and it took even his disciples a while to recognize and understand this supernatural dimension in his life and what it meant. So when Peter said this, Jesus said, God has revealed this to you. You've seen it with other eyes. Then in John's Gospel, we have the following remarkable account. Listen to this. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus knew fully who he was. And what did he do? Listen to that statement again. That he had come from God and was returning to God. And at that point, he took off his outer clothes and began to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus, as a man, was a brother and a son. He was identified by where he came from. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Do you remember? Nathanael asked in John 1:46. People looked at him and saw the natural. Others looked at him and experienced the supernatural. The world will view you and judge you from the natural. But if your life is to have a power and an eternal significance, you must live from the dimension of who you really are. In the same way, it's not our association or relationship to men that is the source of living the Christian life, but our relationship to God, to the extent that we know it as being in Christ Jesus. This is the extent of our power and peace to live the Christian life. Okay, so that seems to be an awful lot of kind of background and where we want to get to. Now we need to understand or hear who we are. So my second point is this. We need to know who we are because we are in Christ Jesus. Some of you have heard me say before that I believe that all of Paul's teaching can be summed up in the phrase, in Christ Jesus. Let's look at these few scriptures quickly. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I love this verse. It is because of him, that is God the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Who we are in Christ Jesus is who we are in God's eyes. He does not see us any more apart from in his Son. Paul also said, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Once by faith you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, a change has taken place in you. You are no longer the same. God's Spirit enlivens your spirit and comes and dwells within you. That is now who you truly are. The words of that old hymn, 'tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. So living out of that place means that we look at life differently. Some recent Christian authors explain it in this way. The more we focus on who we are in Christ, the less it matters who we were in the past or even what happened to us. True rest comes from surrender, calling an end to the struggle between the false identity forged by hurt, pain, and disappointment and our real identity in Christ. We do not behave out of our identity, we behave out of our understanding of our identity in Christ. My third point is this. We are truly now children of God. Who are we? We're children of God. Because we are in Christ Jesus. Because of God are we in him. There's a point that we're coming to here. You'll be glad to know there is a point that we're coming to. And it's based around this fact. Who are you? You're a child of God. Let's see what that means. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The beginning of Romans 8 is that famous verse that most of us know and can quote. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ Jesus. Paul again. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And then from there, Paul goes to those verses that we just read. The position of whom we are, because we're in Christ, that we just read, as a child of God. And in those two verses, there are two main points. The first one is this. We are children of God. And the second one is, we are no longer slaves to fear. We're going to watch a video. It's a worship video. You know the song. In fact, we sang it last week. Although I think it might have been new for a number of you. Let me tell you what God told me was going to happen here today. When I was praying into this, he told me this. He told me that there were people here today who would be set free by declaring that they were a child of God. So when I was looking at what to talk about, that overwhelming thought the Holy Spirit put within me. That's why we've only preambled up until now. So I just want to say that. We're going to look at fear in a minute. And God wants to deliver people from fear. You are a child of God if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior by faith. And declaring it this day, I believe, I have heard, will set some of us, all of us, free. So let this just contemplate as you this worship video, or sing it out, or do whatever you want to do. And then we'll come back and just move on from that place. Okay, thank you. Praise God. So even now the Holy Spirit is moving, and thank you for sharing what you shared just then. As children of God, we've been born again into a new family, God's family. And God's family is not only those whom we worship and fellowship with, but that great company of saints who've gone before us since the very days of Christ's death and resurrection. In this lies the power of our Christian walk and life, no longer striving to do what is needed, but accepting who we are in him, allowing the power of God to work through this temporary life of ours. When I was given the topic for today, I was given the scripture as well, the set scripture, which was Psalm 139. And I was thinking, well, no, I'm not really going to talk about Psalm 139. And then God led me to that video that talks about things that are in Psalm 139. And also this passage then, these verses from it, tell us of how from a Creator Father's perspective, we are loved by God. Listen to the verses again. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In Romans 8:19, Paul continues to say this. He says that all creation groans. Other verses say creation is standing on tiptoe, waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. We are children of God. It is in God's plan that we live as children of God. All of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. The Greek word there for revealing is the same word that is revelation in the book of Revelation, apocalypse. Creation itself will be healed when the sons and daughters of God are revealed and live to be who they are meant to be. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back, I believe, when we live as children of God. We need to be who we are. Your power and authority to live the life you're called to is no longer dependent upon effort or doing your best. It is from this realization, this understanding, as who you are as a child of God, an heir to all that exists in God's plan for your life. And the second part was this, wasn't it? Because of who we are no longer slaves to fear. How many of us, even though we've accepted Christ, encounter fears in our lives? And this is an area that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to minister to today. 1 John 4:18 says that perfect love casts out fear. But some of us still live with fear of judgment. Fear of judgment, maybe because we feel still not worthy. Which one of us is? Which one of us ever will be? Or judgment of other people. I've had that this week where I work in Hebron Hall. I've had people come and judge my Christianity because I wouldn't give them what they wanted when they wanted it. A church that had come to stay at our place, and it's what it was. It's what it was. Some of you have had judgment of people in your lives for many years. Some of you have lived with that and lived through that and come through that. But God wants to break every chain of that for you today. Some of us have a fear of infirmity. Maybe you're now at the time of life where you're worried about how things will be. Some of us have fear of separation, of illness, of loneliness, fear of poverty or abuse. But from all of these things, we've been set free by the power of Almighty God, and we are his children, born in love and forever in his Son, Jesus. But you know, that's not just for you as an individual. It's not even for us as a local church. It is for the world's sake that we need to know and be who we truly are. Now, if we refer quickly to that sheet, I want to touch on one or two things. I'll very quickly tell you where this came from. You heard earlier that as a family we've suffered a bereavement. Liz, my wife's mother, passed away. And her funeral is on Thursday this week. And Liz was going through her things. She was a lovely lady of God. She then had frontal lobe dementia and began to lose the ability to recognize people. And it rapidly developed. She had to go into a nursing home. They then sent her into a hospital because they thought that it needed more investigation. Her hearing was very bad, and she could not have her hearing aids in because she couldn't bear anybody fussing her because she didn't know who they were. Hospital rang up one day and said she was aspirating her food, breathing her food in. She couldn't, you know, and she was choking. And they said that they only just were able to save her. But in doing whatever maneuvers they did within the hospital, they somehow damaged her neck. So she couldn't lift her head up to see. And the last kind of couple of months, weeks, that's as she was. She couldn't hear. She couldn't lift her head to see anybody. People who came to her, she didn't often recognize. But she was a wonderful woman of God. And you know what happened? She went inside. You could go and see her, and she would just be quietly worshiping. See, whatever had happened with her mind didn't affect what happened in her spirit. It did not affect her relationship with God. You could go to her and you could talk to her about the Lord, and she would immediately brighten up. The dementia in no way was affected by that. And her passing was actually peaceful. She just gradually withdrew from the world. So Liz was going through her things and she found this. So when I told Liz that this is what I was being asked to preach on, she gave it to me, and yeah, I thought it was good enough to share. So forgive me for that digression. A few things then on this. We need to be who we are because of the world, for the world's sake. This is what Jesus was saying. So the first two, I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. From the Sermon on the Mount, from that part of Scripture. Yeah. But if you are just another person, you are none of those things. But when you are in Christ Jesus, and you know and live from the place of power that you are a child of God, then you can become all of those things. Romans 8, I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Galatians 3, I am a son of God and one in Christ. I am an heir of God, since I am a son of God. Hebrews 3, I am a holy brother, partaker of a heavenly calling. I'm a partaker of Christ. I share in his life. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. I am now a child of God. I will resemble Christ when he returns. And then that great verse at the bottom in bold. I am not the great I am, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. I'm going to finish with this, but one of my favourite kind of Christmas things is the Christmas Carol. I love that. I love the story. I've seen probably, I don't know, every version of it that there might be. You know, from the very old one with Alistair Sims. It's always the same. They don't change the words at all. They just remake it with a different person, a different character. But what about when you have your Christmas Carol moment? What if you are sitting down right now and you look back to the past? Who were you in the past? You may not have known the Lord. You may have been, in your own eyes, a totally different person. And it's good sometimes to go back and see that. I love it in the book of Ephesians. It goes from this you were, and then it's got those incredible words, but God. And then it moves on to, and this is who you are. That is what we need for our who am I moment. And then the present. Well, here we are in the present. And I mean the very present. I felt and I saw that people have experienced fear. That they do need that release. And the promise of God is that he will come and do that for you today. He will come and do that for you today. As you've declared just now that you are a child of God. And we're going to do it through a worship song in just a moment. So the Christmas Carol, we've got the past. We've got the present. You need to decide. We need to decide. I need to decide. Who am I today? When I go out of this room, who am I? Am I going out as a child of God? Or am I going out as an attendee of a church? Am I going to go out in my own strength? And am I going to go out and be that vessel, that vehicle that God can move through? And then the future. They say in the last moment that you see your life. And what will that be like for you? What will that be like for me? Where we look back and say, if only. If only I had totally surrendered to God. If only I had really let the power of the gospel work in my life. If only I had lived my life as a child of God. What difference could that have made? How might my life have been different? Time is too short to not be who you are. Thanks, Peter. I threw on the band a curveball yesterday. This is another song about us being a child of God. And I didn't want to play two videos. And bless them, they learnt it yesterday. They're going to share it with us today. Many of you, I think, will know it. Let's just worship. Let's just let that release come as we declare that we are children of God through this song. I believe that God has been ministering and will continue to minister. If you want to pray, if you want somebody to stand with you and pray, and sometimes we need that if we're carrying a burden. then please come forward and people will come and pray with you. But if in just where you're standing, where you're sitting, you just want to reach out, and I'm talking to the people who God has been speaking to about being released from something today, do it where you are. Declare it. Shout it. Don't worry about the people around you. Let it go through the vehicle of this song. Thank you. Pronounce the benediction, but let's just pray. If somebody wants to come and talk afterwards, then please seek me or somebody else out. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that we're brave enough to be different here, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, that wasn't an exposition of your word, but it was a sharing with what you had shared. And I thank you, Lord, that you have touched people, that you have moved in people's hearts and lives this morning. Lord, if we remember nothing else, let us remember that we are children of God. Lord, let us live out of that, that eternal aspect of us and not the natural. Father, continue to work by your Holy Spirit in the lives of people here. Bless and anoint this church. Bless and anoint every person who is here present. And glorify your name and build your kingdom. Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom come. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ the Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.